Stand for the reading of the word. I'll mention that again. If you would stand for the reading of the word, we'll turn to the book of Colossians in chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 15 through 20, and I'll just title this message simply, I Want to Talk About Jesus. Colossians 1 and verse 15. We'll have some slides up here. I'm going to make five basic points and tie them all together, and we'll put some of those up on the screen as we go, and it'll be up on sermon audio later. Colossians 1, this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk about Jesus, who he really is. Verse 15. He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on heaven or earth, making peace by the blood of his cross. Father, you sent the Lord Jesus. He lived a sinless life in our place and died the atoning death on the cross. You treated him as if he was us, so you could treat us as if we were him. He rose again, proving that you accepted this payment, and he's coming back for us. In the meantime, we have the Holy Spirit with us, and Holy Spirit, I ask that you would anoint this message to our hearts. Anyone who hears this would know that Jesus is God, that he is the creator, he is the sustainer, he is the Lord, and he is the great reconciler. And we will all be reconciled one way or another. Help us now to bow our knees to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I sort of indicated where we're going with this, and some of you have heard this once before, perhaps, but I'm sure some of you haven't. And if I asked you to say what the five words were, maybe you didn't have it in your mind what they were. So we're going to make sure we drill down into this once again and get our feet wet and our hands dirty and just our minds saturated around this truth about who Jesus is and why he came, because it's vitally important that you convince yourself and are convicted of this as we go through those difficult trials of life, as we encounter people with other things. Well, why isn't this true? Why isn't that true? Etc. So our text tells you who Jesus is again and why he came. And I'm going to explain this message by referring to five words about him and his work. And the first one is found in verse 15, and you also see it in verse 19, and that is Jesus is God. We put some scriptures that we're going to refer to here, but that's the first word. Can we say Jesus is God? Amen. Amen. Jesus is God, not mighty God, almighty God. All right? Well, all of it. Amen. He is the image of the invisible God. Now, if you look at verses 13 and 14, it says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He, right? So he shows that this is speaking about Jesus, the Son of God. And this term son doesn't mean some lesser person, some lesser rank. The verse is asserting the absolute deity of Christ. People say all the time, I was talking to the people that came to our door the other day, and you know they were like, okay, this, that, and the other, and you know they want to give you their literature, and I give them one of my books and all of that. And I was like, you know, I know that you revere Jesus, but you lessen Jesus from his true place. He's not a created being. He is, we'll see in this text, he is the creation. He is the creator. And people say, well, he's not the God. He's the Son of God. Yes, but the Jews at the time realized what they meant. That's why they were trying to kill him. That's the point. Son of God meant God. You know, all you have to do is just know a little bit of Hebrew history and realize you're making yourself equal with God. That's why they tried to stone him. John chapter 5. Very simple. Then I took them to John 1:3. Nothing that was made wasn't made by him. Everything that was made by him. So what did he do? Create himself? No, he's not a created being. He's uncreated. He is self-existent. Some of these words are going to blow your mind as we get into them. But again, this verse asserting his absolute deity and his exact likeness to the Father. There's an exclusive singular here. Jesus is the one and only image of the invisible God. No one has seen God the Father, but there is an answer to the question, what does God look like? Exactly, the answer is he looks like Jesus, who is God in human flesh. John 1:14 and John 1:18 say this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God. The only God who was at the Father's side has made him known. Jesus is fully God and fully man. We could get into the technical language, say it's the hypostatic union. The point is that in the incarnation, he didn't give up his deity. Rather, what he did was put on humanity. Philippians 2:6-8 says that although Jesus was God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, the word image here, right? This icon, this image here, doesn't mean just a picture or representation of God, but the very essence and manifestation of God. Perhaps you've heard the hymn, Hark the herald angels sing, right? And you've sung the words, Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. This is the truth. Jesus is God. Who is your God? Jesus. Now, he's a triune God, yes. But you cannot lessen. This is exalting him. And so what I told him is, hey, I'm glad that you're following your conscience and going out here and telling people. I wish more people would do that. And you have something different than I do about Jesus Christ, though. But which one of us is exalting Christ to the highest position? What did Tozer say? He said that man can never rise above his conception of God. And when you see what this text has to say about who Jesus really is, you realize it's way bigger than the Hulk or Thor or anything like that. It's way beyond any of that. So children, if you're listening, I'm going to show you how Jesus is incredibly more than anybody's ever even thought of. Maybe you've never thought of it. That's why we're going through it. Humans are made in the image of God, right? Genesis 1:26-28. But even before Adam fell, it was just a partial representation of God. And sin has corrupted and defiled that image. But Jesus, born without a sin nature, was the exact and perfect representation of God's image and nature. Hebrews 1:3 says, He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. Now, we talk about this all the time. Give glory to God, or the glory of God. And that implies weight, but what it means is all that God is the glory of God. So the glory of God is a revelation of God. And so when we're giving glory to God, we are revealing His character by our character. That's what gives God glory, is by being down hard in the dumps, walking through life and realize He has gone there before us, and by faith we can trust Jesus like Jesus trusted the Father. That's the walk. Because the walking by the Spirit means walking to the cross, whatever it may be. Take up your cross daily and follow Him. Anybody with me? Jesus is not a partial or lesser deity. The book of Colossians is very concerned with this Christ consciousness, which you hear a lot about today. People say, you know, I like Jesus, but I don't like his people and all that. And well, you know, the Jesus idea that you hear out there. Of course, Jesus makes some very wild claims for himself. Again, that's why they're trying to kill him. Don't kid yourself about that. Oh, Jesus never claimed to be God. Of course he did. Again, that's why they're trying to kill him. Why else would they kill him if he's going around healing people and doing all these things? He didn't say I'm a magician. He didn't say I'm fallen Krishna or Buddha or Lao Tse. He said, I'm God. I'm the Son of God. I'm here on earth to show you who God is. Look at verse 19. For in him all the fullness of God, sounds like a lot, right? Was pleased to dwell. Colossians 2:9 says, For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. See, it's a mystery about the Trinity, and they all are full of each other, and yet there is a distinction there. They're not separate, they're just distinct. Father, Son, Spirit. And all that fullness dwelt bodily in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the holiness, all of the truth, all of the power are in God the Son. He is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. John 1, 1 and 2 says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You can get a little nasty on the Greek there and say, you could say it is a God, but that doesn't make any sense of it. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus came to be the God-man because only the God-man could atone for sin. You see, to redeem a people, he had to be fully God to give the atonement an eternal value, a big value. See, if I did something to you, I could pay, right, the money, or I could pay with my life or whatever. But if I was sinning against God, how do I pay that? Only God can pay that. And only God is big enough to take all the sins of all those that would trust him. It's not one-on-one because he's more valuable. Again, you might not like the president. I've been doing this since, you know, we've had two or three presidents or whatever. And if you wrecked my car or shot bullets at my car, you might get in trouble. Maybe you'd have to pay for it. Maybe you'd go to jail, this, that, and the other thing. But if you shot up the president's car, you're not even going to make it to jail. Why? Because like it or not, you might love me or whatever, but the president's worth a little more than me. Now, the king of the universe and your one sin ruined the universe. See, the problem in the universe is you. It's you. It's you. The problem in the universe is us. People say all the time, if you only were the only one that ever sinned, then Jesus would have died for you. Let me tell you something, Buster. If you were the only one that ever sinned, Jesus would have had to die because he's reconciling all creation. So we can't think, well, my sin isn't that big of a deal. Okay, if you sin against me, we could talk some money. We could talk some jail time. You sin against God, how do you pay for that? You're not worth it. Your value's not there. So we had to be God to make it worth it and to absorb all that because all the sins for all, you know, everlasting, 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 he's eternal. He can fit them all in that. A lot of technical language, Mr. MDiv. We're not going to go there right now. But that's the thing. But he also had to be man because only a man could live that sinless life in our place to make that payment right. Right? It was man that was going to redeem man, but it was the God-man. It's an incredible head-blowing thought and all that. But this is who Jesus is. He's God. Can I get an amen? He had to be perfectly man to perfectly satisfy the requirements of God's law, thus becoming an acceptable sacrifice. It says he's the firstborn of all creation. We have a song that we sing around here. Image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation. By him all things were made. This speaks not of chronology, but of covenant, of primacy, authority, privilege, inheritance. For example, Israel is called the firstborn, yet it wasn't the first nation in time, right? All right? Hebrews 1, 2 says that God has spoken to us by his Son, by whom he appointed the heir of all things. And this truth is further explained in verse 16 to 17, because Jesus is Lord of the creation. Because Jesus is the creator. First thing, first word, Jesus is God. Somebody. Amen. Jesus is God. And now Jesus is creator. Jesus is creator. He's God. He's creator. That's the second word. Look at verse 16. Are you with me? He says, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." Not after he was created. He was the creator. This is the second word. Jesus created the entire universe or multiverse, whatever we're thinking about, and all that is in it for his own glory and purpose. He isn't just a deed and you go back, 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 and he's on some distant star called Kolob. We're not Mormons, folks. I'm sorry. Wonderful people and all that, but they get Jesus wrong. You get Jesus wrong. All heresies start with a misconception of the nature of God, and Jesus is God, and he is fully the creator, not somewhere back in time somebody else created him. No way. That lessens Jesus. I want to raise your concept of Jesus. Romans 11, 36 echoes the same thing. It says, "For from him," we sing this one too, "from him, through him, to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." All of creation, all of the creatures, all of the cosmos, the physical and the spiritual world, all of the orders and powers, everything that has life, everything that doesn't have life, everything we can see and everything we cannot see, everything that is, was made out of nothing. Genesis 1:1 says, ex nihilo, out of nothing, and it was made by Christ. John 1:3, we've talked about it already, says this, all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus didn't create himself. He is uncreated. He was the agent of creation. Again, Hebrews 1:2 says that God has spoken to us by his Son, through whom he also created the world. Soon enough, we're going to be getting to that Revelation 3 and looking at Laodicea. Revelation 3:14 says this, and to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. Aha! And if I might do my... This doesn't mean that Jesus is the original creation. It means he's the originator of creation. The firstborn of creation, right? The beginning of God's creation, it says. He's the beginning of it. Without him, there ain't no beginning of it because he's the one that began it. It's not him that was the first. It's him that created. Jesus is God. Amen? Jesus is the creator. Amen? But he is more than that. And this one's going to blow your mind because Jesus also sustains his creation. Look at verse 17. And he is before all things. See, it means he was created. Come on. This text is not saying that at all. It's trying to lift Jesus up, not put him down. And he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is the third word. One, Jesus is God. Let's hear it. Number two, Jesus is creator. Jesus is sustainer. This is so powerful and so profound. We're going to take a minute on it, and it's not often understood. First, in verse 17, read that Jesus is before all things. He existed before creation. In John 17:5, Jesus said, and now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Hello. Then we see that Jesus not only created all things, but that in him all things hold together. All that Jesus created, he maintains. Hebrews 1:3 says that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He didn't just create everything. He doesn't just have... See, he's not... You know, we sing it, and it's right. Behold the King of the universe. And that's wonderful, and that's good to grasp, but it's way bigger than that. It's not just this universe, and he's sitting on the throne, does whatever he wants. That makes the universe bigger than him, right? He's not just Thor that can do this, that, and the other thing, but a star can knock him out or make his big hammer or whatever, and, you know, gamma rays made Hulk and all that, and Hulk's incredible. Jesus is like, it's nothing. All of everything could come at him at once. And it's not like he'd go boom, 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 boom. That's not what sustain means. Sustain means it doesn't have any life. It's not even existing unless he's causing it to exist. And that includes hell, my friends. It's not some little devil with a pitchfork getting people in hell. It's Jesus. They're going to be looking at his face. We'll be looking at his face in heaven going, yes, 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 as he's revealing himself more and more. But for those in hell, it'll be the same revelation. And yet they'll be going, no. No, no! Wow. He is causing things. Right now you say, well, it's my money, and I do this, and I do... I'm not trying to get you... Well, yeah, go ahead, give money. But you know what I'm saying? It's not just him could wipe everything out unless he's causing it to exist. Right now, it ceases to exist. He sustains it all. That's incredible. There's nothing greater than him. Any universe, any multiverse, anything you think you can think above God, you can't get beyond this statement. All things are upheld by the word of his power. He holds all things together. In him is life, and there's life in nothing else except that he gives it. Sustainer. Let's say that word. Sustainer. Again.
Sustainer.
Everything can come at him at once, and all he has to do is let it go. Isn't that incredible? Again, Jesus didn't just create everything. He doesn't just have dominion over everything. He is the only thing that keeps existence together. Sustainer doesn't just mean Jesus could wipe anything and everything out, but that he is the only life support anything has. And you say, but what about people that are going against him? That's when we get to the last word. Because he's letting it happen now, but he ain't going to let it happen forever. It isn't that things are created and then they have life in themselves in an eternal sense, but that Jesus continues to give life to everything and anything. It's not that everything is him or that everything has him in it. Pantheism, panentheism, it's not those. But that everything is maintained by him or it ceases to exist, even the devil. The only reason that anything continues is because Jesus is making it so. Well, then why is it? Who are we to judge God? We know what he has revealed, and he's revealed, I've got it all under control. I've got it way more than control. I'm controlling it. But then what, oh man? Right? Exactly. What did he tell Job? He didn't say, well, Job, you know, I got these things, and remember Satan over here and these things, and I want to show your friends are ridiculous and all that. No, he just said, where were you? I'm God. And again, you think, I don't understand it. I understand. You don't have to. You don't have to. You can let your mind be blown. When my father would hold me up into his arms, and the more incredibly talked, the more I loved him. Because I thought, there's things I don't know. But I know I can hold on to him, and he loves me. Just look at the cross, and you see what you need to know. He is doing something about it. This is his play, but we don't know how it all is as we go through it, but we know the ending of it. We're not play acting. It's not determinism. Our choices have real consequences in this life, but we know this, that in behind all of that, there is God, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. Jesus is creator, and Jesus is the sustainer. He's the Lord of life, the author of life. And that's why Christians worship Jesus as the Lord of their life. So we said, Jesus is God, amen? Jesus is God. Jesus is creator. Jesus is sustainer. Fourth word, Jesus is Lord. Whether we want to believe that or not. Christians make him Lord, but he's Lord of the church. And he's Lord over all creation, whether people, you know, agree with that or not. Look at verse 18, are you with me? He says, and he is the head of the body, the church. I don't want to go to church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. That's the fourth word. Christ has the priority in time and power. He's the head of the body, the church. Ephesians 5:23 says, Christ is the head of the body, the church, and he himself is the Savior. Colossians 2:10 says, you've been filled in him, who is the head of all ruler and authority. Jesus is the Lord of the entire universe. Jesus is the Lord of the church. Every part of your life is under the lordship of Christ. All you need is flowing from him. Now, the firstborn, we've seen that before, it refers once again to primacy, not chronology. Since Jesus was not the first person to rise from the dead, this is about prominence. It's not primarily about time, but rank. But it does refer to time in a sense, in the sense that he is the beginning, the first of those who will rise never to die again. Revelation 1:5 says, Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. He's the beginning of that new creation. Romans 8:21 says, the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. You see, when he was in that tomb, it was like a womb. And when he came bursting forth, a whole new creation was beginning, and it will culminate when he comes back. And right now, it's continuing to spread as people become born again. And one day, there will be a big bang. And all will know Jesus is Lord. He's the beginning of the new creation. He's the center of the new creation, that in everything he might be preeminent, the text says. The outworking of that starts with born-again people, the church, the redeemed. Colossians 3:11 says that in the church there is neither Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. That's the problem with the church. Anytime there's a problem with the church, it's either Christ is not all or in all. You got the devil in there. You got goats in there. And that's always going to happen. Or Christ is not being made enough of. I ask you again, do we want to lower Christ down or do we want to lift him up? Lift him up. Jesus is first in the church and he will be first everywhere. Paul reinforces his point in verse 19 by stating that in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. The Son is fully God. Revelation 1:8, even in the New World Translation, says this. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Contrary to many false religions and cults of Christianity, Jesus claims to be, and the Bible declares him to be, nothing less than fully God. He's not a created being. He's not the archangel. He's not a mere man. By claiming to be the Son of God, the Jews knew that Jesus was saying he was indeed God. Mentioned it before, John 5:18 says, this was why the Jews were seeking to kill him. All the more, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And of course, people say, well, it just means equal to purpose. No, he meant equal in himself. And you can dance around that, and you know, when I had the people at the door, they were ready for that. But so was I, because of the Lord. Jesus is Lord right now. And while it may not be recognized by very many today, and seem to be less and less, it is more and more. One day it will be recognized by all creatures for all eternity. You see, Jesus is God. Jesus is the creator of all creation. Jesus is the sustainer of all creation. Jesus is the Lord of all creation. And finally, Jesus will reconcile all creation. Let's say those words again. Jesus is God. Jesus is creator. Jesus is sustainer. Jesus is Lord. And finally, Jesus is reconciler. Yes, look at verse 20 with me. And through him to reconcile to himself all things. And by the way, this doesn't mean everybody's on good terms. Reconcile can mean, you know, you just make the books right. Whether it be on heaven or earth, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the final word. Jesus has the final say. All these people can blaspheme and say, no way, you can't tell me. I did it my way. You do that, you're on the high. I had to do a 70 song. I can't get out of a sermon without doing a 70 song. Highway to hell. But that's it. Don't just blame Bon Scott. You need to look at your own life. This is the final word. And it describes the final outcome of history and what will happen in eternity. The last word is an incredible statement regarding the future. Fully recognized lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus will have the last word. That's what we need to remember. Okay, he is God. We can trust him. We know that he created all things, that he is sustaining all things, that he is the Lord, and that he is the reconciler. It is going to work out one way or the other. Firstly, through his death on the cross, Jesus brought about a dramatic change of condition and status for his people. You think, this is a lot to just remember the five words. God, creator, sustainer, Lord, reconciler. You can see them right there in the text. He resolved the enmity between God and man. Look at verse 21 and 22. It says, and you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order that you could just do whatever you want and sin whenever you want and say, oh yeah, God's got it. No. If your destination is heaven, your destiny is holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. It's not how well you walk. It's, are you walking? In order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Oh, yeah, but you mean the imputed righteousness of Christ? Yes, yes. But those that he justifies, he sanctifies. They are regenerated. They are born again. Anybody hearing me now? Look at Romans 5:10. It says that we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Jesus also reconciled the hostility between Jew and Gentile. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:16 says that he reconciled us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And what's more, Jesus is redeeming creation itself. Romans 8:19 through 23 says all creation will be made new. This world is broken, but the birth of Jesus brought us the hope of a new creation. I'm not trying to make my flesh better. I'm trying to walk by the Spirit. I'm not just leaving this creation out and not trying to help it and all that, but you know what? It is going to be renewed, and it's going to have a renewable energy that's beyond anything we can imagine. This world is broken. But in this world, there will be no sickness in this new world. No suffering, no strife. Oh, no strife. No sickness. No sickness or sin. And of course, Jesus will be there. And the cross leads to more than that. You see the phrase, all things, twice in verse 16. Twice in verse 17. Here again in verse 20. And you see the phrase, in everything in verse 18. And it does mean all things. It relates to everything. Jesus made all things, verse 16. He sustains all things, verse 17. He's greater than all things, verse 18. And he's reconciling all things, verse 20. But here's the thing. There's several verses that you can look at, and we've talked about them before in other messages. But let me just remind you, this isn't talking about universalism. What this means is that through the humble obedience of Jesus unto death, everything and all of creation will acknowledge him as King of kings and Lord of lords, as God Almighty reigns forever. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says this, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Everything will be brought into full submission to Christ. That's what he means by reconciliation. Even though we don't see everyone bend to the knee to Jesus now, everyone is under his command, even now. Again, they don't even exist unless he's causing it to happen. But then in the end, they will do so verbally and visually. Where's your God now? Well, he's on the throne waiting to punish you or to pardon you. Which do you want? Is your Thor going to help you? Is your money going to help you? Is your sex, drugs, rock and roll, wine, women, and song, like we used to call it? Is any of that really? What did D.L. Moody say to us last week? The problem is not being successful. It's being successful at something that doesn't really matter. I mean, do all those things with an eye to the glory of God. Live for Christ, win others to Christ. Edify your brothers and sisters in Christ. That doesn't mean you don't have a job. It means you do your job to the glory of God, not to yourself. Everything is going to be brought fully under his submission, knowingly. And all the chaos, all of the calamity in the physical and spiritual universe will be put in perfect order. See, this is where faith comes in, because we don't trust it now. Because we see all this stuff, we say, how can God let that happen? But we look at the cross and know he is doing something about it. And we see little bits of people getting healed here, getting saved here, things happening here. It's not as bad as it could be. So it's like, okay, are you trusting me? See, Jesus knew the final outcome when he said, my God, why art thou forsaking me? He's quoting the first half of Psalm 22. But he's meaning the whole psalm. And the second half says, I will rejoice in the midst of the congregation, me and those children that God has given me. And so now we walk that hard road in faith, knowing the end from the beginning, but wanting to be tempted off that road in the meantime. But we can be, if we have trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus doesn't mean just that he's doing it for you. It means he's walking it with you. He did it for you, and you're going to trust in that, and that's the road you're on. But if you want to stay on that road as far as your faith and as far as knowing him, then you don't give in to temptation. Then you yield to holiness. Don't try to make your flesh good. Trust in the Holy Spirit that he's put there. And when you feel that temptation, say, that's what I'm going to yield to, is holiness, not the temptation. You don't get zapped and then you obey. No, you got to have the conviction to lay that thing down, feel that pain, because if repentance doesn't hurt, it doesn't heal. But once it heals, then you're like, on to the next thing. And that's the walk. See, walking by the Spirit means walking to the cross. Can you hear me? Again, it's going to be the most glorious day when who Jesus is and what he's done will be fully revealed to the whole universe, fully, and everyone and everything in it. This is why Titus 2:13 says, we're waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus redeems his people, and he redeems creation. But not all people or all angels will be redeemed in the saving sense. Everything will be reconciled in the sense that everything will be brought into its proper place. And there'll be no further or future rebellion against his universal rule. Hebrews 2:8 says that currently nothing is outside of Christ's control, but presently it doesn't appear that everything is in subjection to him. There's a lot of rebellion against Jesus, amen? Creator, sustainer, and lord of the universe. However, one day that will fully and finally change. And that day will be the judgment day. Revelation 20, verse 10 through 15 says that on that day, death, hell, and the devil will be thrown into the lake of fire. And all those who have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will not be found in the book of life. And they too will be damned forever. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Creator, the Sustainer, the Lord of the universe, and Jesus is the great judge who will reconcile you one way or the other. He's either going to reconcile you by justifying you or by judging you. Jesus will be your judge. On this side, I'm greater than Billy Graham and Mother Teresa and all these people in times a million. And on this side, Jesus. How does that balance out? You've been weighed and found wanting. No one will have anything to say. I did better than them. Is that the measure? As soon as you measure yourself against someone else, you become literally self-righteous. Now, I'd like to think that, you know, my life has changed quite a bit. I know that it has. But the distance, now, this may sound controversial. The distance between me and Hitler is much closer than me and Jesus. That's just the truth. But by his grace, he has given me his righteousness. And now I live it as an act of faith and worship. And the people that are on that road don't live perfectly, but they live purposefully. It's not that that shows that that saves them. It manifests that they're saved. Works don't save you. But those that saved will work towards the reconciler. Jesus will be your judge. Acts 10:42 says that Jesus will judge the living and the dead. Acts 17:31 says that we know Jesus is the judge because he rose from the dead. Romans 2:16 says that Jesus will judge the secrets of your heart. You are not getting away with it. People who might not think about Jesus all year long might have fond thoughts about Jesus at Christmas time or, you know, their anniversary or Easter or whatever it may be. But there's going to come a time when everybody's going to meet him face to face. And in the end, there's not going to be any atheists or agnostics, wishful thinkers or deniers of Christ. I was sincere. You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. Everyone will know exactly who Jesus is, and everything that has life will fully acknowledge his absolute authority, majesty, and power. And I think everything that doesn't have life, that he's going to animate it, the rocks would cry out, he said. Everyone will bow the knee to the real Jesus, amen. The question is, when will you do it? You will do it. When will you do it? Will you bow the knee to the Lord of glory right now and joyfully experience who Jesus is on that great day? I have, I will, I continue to do so. My knees may be scraped. My belly may be getting big. My health may be declining. I'm pretending that I have hair and when I really don't. But you know what? None of that's what matters. I can get all the bumps and bruises and scars, and people can say whatever they want to, but I've been stamped with the seal of the Holy Spirit, and he is the ultimate mailman, and on that day, I'll be excited. Everyone will bow the knee. Will you bow the knee to God now? Or will you refuse to bow the knee now and dreadfully acknowledge and experience who Jesus is on that great day? And all were gathered around. The books were opened, and there was that great dragon, Satan, and all his minions behind him. And they watched in horror as he bowed the knee. And said, Jesus is Lord, and went to his place. The hell is not the end, it's the lake of fire. Hell itself is thrown in the lake of fire. And it's not made for you. It's made for the devil and his angels. You say, I'm not possessed. I do whatever I want. That's his lie. Is God really saying this? You don't have to do this. You can be just like me, his own God. And all these little false gods all over the planet of all time will know. And they will have to say with great tears, and so will I with great tears. Those will be tears of joy. You've seen what the Bible says about who Jesus is and why he came. Jesus is God. Jesus is the creator. He's the sustainer. He's the Lord. And he's going to reconcile all this creation. The choice to believe or not is yours. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only on the pages of Holy Scripture, but through the power of the Holy Spirit to my heart. I would ask that you would make Jesus real to all of us Save souls. Strengthen saints. Help us make it through these days. And even so, come, Lord Jesus, in your name we pray.